This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dakshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
And welcome to a new week and a new episode with a new guest. And this is your host, Dakshin Adyantaya, in the virtual studios of the Deliberate Talks podcast today. And with our guest, Dr. Egypt. Hello, Egypt. How are you doing?
I'm well, Dakshin. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much. Dr. Egypt is a multi-passionate, non-linear thinker. She loves doing so many things. But she's 40 and she still doesn't know what she wants to become when she grows up. And that's the most fascinating point I want to start the conversation with. So tell me, Egypt, what all have you done so far? And what do you do professionally today?
Okay, well, what have I done so far? Now, that's a loaded question there. But I'll try and keep things simple for the sake of the listeners. So my journey's been in some ways rather straightforward, and other ways on more of an internal level has been more convoluted. So, I went through the standard school training. I studied in the UK up until like university level. I studied there. I got qualified as a medical doctor. So I got my bachelor's in medicine and surgery and went on to also do like a master's in science, biomedical science. So that's kind of like the main professional training. And just through a series of different encounters, I also found myself finally now living in the United States, but I actually came here to study naturopathic medicine and, holistic healing modalities, herbalism, nutrition, those more, I guess, similar to wellness and healthcare, but it was more from a natural paradigm. So I shifted away from that drug-based paradigm. So that's like I've done other trainings, but those are like my major professional trainings.
Right. And tell me about all the other ones which you also do and which you enjoy a lot.
Okay. So like I'd mentioned, while we were talking before, I identify with being a multi-passionate, multi-potentialite. Mm-hmm. And in effect, what that means is that I resonate deeply with many passions. And I refuse to kind of box my life under labels, even though I do have professional labels based on my background and my training. Personally, I don't see myself as anchored to any one of those labels. I try and embrace myself as a full and complete human being, and I run with my passions. So I'm a poet. I love poetry. I write poetry. I read poetry. I've been healed and touched by poetry. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I actively engage in my poetic and artistic pursuits. So that's something that I also do. In some ways, I guess I do it on the side, but for me, it's not, because it's equally as important as the healing work that I do, just in a different way, because it nurtures my soul. So I'm an artist like that. I love creative engagement. It keeps me balanced, keeps me whole. So that's like some of the things that I do. I don't know how much more you want to know.
Like, I know the list is endless there, and that's fantastic, right? Yeah. But, simplify this concept of multi-passionism or non-linear thinking life for me. How easy is it for us to live with multiple goals in life? Because a lot of people want to do a lot of things, but they can't, or they don't because of their daily jobs. But how easy is it to live a life with multiple goals?
I think for me, in answering that question, a lot of things comes down to mindset. Like in many things in life, career, business, relationships, health, it comes down to mindset. And I feel like as, broadly as the societies or, we've been almost conditioned and programmed right from we were young, most people, not everybody, to think that when you're young as a kid, people say, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? And it's almost like they want this singular response that, I want to be a teacher or a writer or an artist or a doctor or what have you. It's this one thing. And we go through school with that notion of eventually we're going to follow the specialization path. We're going to only choose one thing And most of us will do that one thing for the rest of our lives, basically. And I just think there's a lot of conditioning around that. It can be quite tricky for someone, especially when you're young and still trying to like discover yourself, still trying to explore different avenues, truly, truly know what you want to do for the rest of your life. Some people have a calling, a singular calling and purpose, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think that's a beautiful thing. But it's also important that we recognize that there are some beings and souls on earth that just don't feel just strongly pulled by the one thing.
And, you know, you just mentioned that you're 40 and still figuring out that. So where does that fit into this multiple goals again?
I think for me, it's the journey of lifelong learning. I've always been passionately curious about just knowledge and learning. And it was one of the main fathers. It's funny because while I was growing up, you know, I always had, like, you know, friends and family would say, oh, you're really smart. So you're going to be a doctor because you're super smart. But I really didn't feel internally that anything that I wasn't that smart. To me, it wasn't being smart. It was the fact that I was just fiercely curious. I wanted to know. I was curious about like the workings of the human body and how we get sick and how we heal from disease. And it was my curiosity to drive me. But at the same time, I was curious about other things. I was curious about, like, you know, metaphysics is a big one. Philosophy and metaphysics is a big one for me. I'm curious about consciousness, the working of the mind. And I was just a curious person. And it was almost like my curiosity was my driver. I almost didn't care what labels that I had attached to that. I just wanted to know the truth of things. And just like in case anybody's trying to still figure that out, like I said, I'm 40 and I still feel I'm finding myself. You know, I think like our lives are like canvases that we can consciously craft it according to our passions and desire if we have the braveness and courage to follow whatever pulls us.
Right. I resonate that a lot because I'm a curious mind myself and I keep experimenting with a lot of things, right? But as the age goes by, you know, we all tend to kind of slow down and, you know, you settle down and all those kind of conversations that come along. But at 40, what keeps you going, you know, with exploring more and more? And how long do you think this is going to sustain for you?
I want to live intentionally. I want to feel that I'm in the driver's seat of my life. Mm-hmm. I feel as I'm growing older, I'm getting more clarity into the person that I am. You know, as you get older, you kind of get to know yourself more. Right. There's obviously the pressure of family and friends and your society, but there's something about just being a long time on earth that, you know, what is for you and what isn't. And I think what keeps me going is the fact that I want to live intentionally. I don't want to feel like I get to the end of my life and I feel like I've lived according to everybody else's desires for my life, aspects for my own life. I want to live true and authentic to myself. For me, truth, living in your truth and authenticity is very, very powerful. It energizes your spirit, your mind. You may not even have, like, you know, total abundance in the eyes of other people or success in the eyes of other people, but there is a deep settlement that you get in your soul, just knowing that you're following your truth, whatever that truth is, you know. Right. So that keeps me going for sure.
Interesting. That keeps... And do you ever get complaints from your friends and family members that you...
Oh, totally. Oh, yes. Oh, totally. Like, I'll give you, for example, like one instance. I've always been into writing and I've always liked creative expression and writing, even when I was younger than a kid and I was going through, you know, like, so I train in the UK. So we have, you know, you're based in India, right? So we have similar like education systems. So we do like primary school, high school, secondary school, right?
Right.
So I went through all of that and I started to focus more on the sciences, but I'd always be writing on the side and I'd be writing like aphorisms and epigrams and quotes and poetry. And sometimes I would read it to friends and families. Some people just didn't get it. They're like, you're like, training to do something else, you're in school, you're training to be a doctor, like, why are you bothering with creativity? It's almost like people, some people expect people to have a one-track mind and they can't wrap their mind around that somebody could use their brain in both a scientifically applied manner and creative. Some people just didn't get that and they would be like, oh, don't waste your time with the poetry, or like, only, you know, if you want to pursue creative writing, why don't you go and do an MFA, Masters of Fine Arts, a creative writing degree? And how I thought about it is that we've always had poets and writers and artists for like aeons, for, you know, generations, countless generations. Right. Even when we didn't have things like certifications and degrees and even universities, like the ancient poets, you know, we don't, it seems like we have to seek permission all the time to live our calling. But now we're in such an abundant age where we have access to tools and technology that, you know, nobody really needs a lot of permission. If you're truly determined and passionate, you can craft your life, your career that's unique to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And how fruitful has this journey been for you so far? You know, if you have to tomorrow list down things that you've achieved because of self-exploring new things, how satisfied are you with your journey so far and how fruitful has it been?
Oh my God, I would say I'm incredibly satisfied. You know, I feel there's a lot more unfolding to be done, but I've had opportunities that like I would not have envisaged. Like for one instance, like I've been published in the Global Art Project, which is a book for fellow multi-passionates and non-linear thinkers. And it's like an exhibition in Amsterdam. It's an art exhibition of multi-passionate people. I've been interviewed on poetry podcasts, you know, liaise more with artists, even within my own work. Like, you know, like I would say like my primary day job, if you like, because I'm a coach and I work with healing like that. Right. It's just, I find it brings a richer picture to my life story. I can relate with people in so many different levels. You know, I could be working with someone on self-care. And while we're talking about the physical side of it, I would bring in things like, creative expression and following your purpose and your passion that could lead to contribute to your healing. So it's just given me a lot of dimension in my day job, creative pursuits, and it's just given the opportunity to liaise with much more creative, innovative entrepreneurs and thinkers like yourself, Dakshin. People that perhaps if I had followed just a straight conventional path of medicine, I would liaise mostly just with like colleagues and other people that are in that, you know, work sector. So it's opened up a lot of opportunities and I'm really grateful for that.
Fantastic. And do you have a visiting card today? And if yes, what does the designation mention in the visiting card?
Oh, yes, I have several. So, and this is another thing that I would say, like a tip perhaps for somebody who identifies as multi-passionate person is that, you know, if you have several passions and you feel there's a way you can bring them all together that makes sense for you and makes sense when you're saying put in an elevator pitch together for somebody, if you can find a common thread, you can use that common thread as your self-designated title. You know, for instance, if someone's into photography and writing, you know, maybe and writing and activist work, on the surface, those three things do not seem connected. But then if you find that the underlying core of it is to maybe empower people or to be a voice of freedom to people with your photography, with your writing, with your activism, you can then present yourself as maybe advocate of freedom using multiple channels to express your work. So for me, that's one thing that I do with my healing work because I have trained in several healing modalities. So in terms of my wellness practice, I would say, I know I have a business card that I just label myself as a holistic medical doctor. I'm doing the medicine, but I'm also, you know, using the naturopathic, natural modalities, the metaphysical wellness tools. And if I'm in like in more creative circles, I have another business card, poet and writer. It has nothing to do with my healing work. I have two or three different business cards, just depending on where I'm networking, who I'm talking to. And it works. It works.
It does. Fantastic. Makes absolute sense. But I'm also going to touch on two of your conversations, which you enjoy talking about. And in a way that's very interesting, but slightly contradicting and interesting. You know, there is one part which talks about calm creativity and the other part which talks about joy of missing out. You know, addressing the latter part first. So if one has an interest towards learning multiple things, how is it joyful to miss out on something in this conversation?
Oh, great. That's, yes, beautiful question. So when I talk about the joy of missing out, what I'm alluding to is more about harnessing creative focus in life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even if somebody's engaged in multiple activities, it can be easy to get overwhelmed with constantly learning and exploring and researching. But one has to remember, you don't have to do it all at one time. Mm. I'm a fan of, you know, like, I don't know if you're aware of the work of Carl Newport. He wrote this book called Deep Work. Mm-hmm. And he talks a lot about just like us being able to focus our mind, eliminate distractions so we can get deeper into any projects that we are involved in. Mm-hmm. And I also, if you like, align with that in my work. And that has helped me as a multi-potentialite to not feel scattered, to not feel overwhelmed, to not feel overly distracted. So, for example, I'm not super active on social media by choice. I intentionally chose to do that because how I figure it out is like we all have so many hours in a day, right? We all have 24 hours. We have work. We have to take care of ourselves, our family, socialize, entertain. There's so many things to try to squeeze into those 24 hours.
Right.
And for me personally, it just, the way my life is set up, if I try to be superly active on social media, it would be too overwhelming and too distracting for me just because of the way I am. I'm more of a like a minimalist. I do like to learn and explore different things, but at the same time, I like to do it in a mindful, calm way. So I'm happy with missing out. I'm happy with like keeping up with my friends on just like phone calls or WhatsApp on like simple channels where I don't have to be following thousands of people and constantly scrolling through my feed, because for me, that is personally distracting to my headspace. Right. Some people work better with it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You know, I think each person has to work according to their personalities. But for me, I like creativity that's like low distraction. It's calm. I'm not feeling like I have information sources just jumping at me from everywhere. And that's where the joy of missing out, like there's this fear of missing out that, you know, people allude to, like why people keep up and constantly posting on different social media channels to keep the world posted on what they're doing. But there is a calm serenity about unplugging and disassociating and just living according to your truth. You might not be making the most popular content out there, but for you, it's something meaningful and it might touch the hearts deeply. I'd rather my content touch the hearts deeply of 100 people than 1,000 people look at my work but don't connect with it on a deep level. So that's what I mean.
Interesting. And what about calm creativity? What's the thought behind that? And how is it beneficial in comparison to, say, a hustle creative culture?
Yes. So I'm very much anti-hustle. You know, there's a notion, especially as the world I feel is getting faster, or maybe I'm just getting older, but it's kind of this hustle, chiggy drop mentality, go, 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 at the speed of light. And I feel I align more with like, you know, it's almost like the Shaolin monks where they harness a lot of energy.
Right.
They concentrate the energy with stillness and awareness and purpose. And they distill that energy and concentrate it to bring forth a lot of strength. Mm-hmm. So if you harness your energy and you do things in a calm manner, because I truly believe, and I've noticed it in my life, because I used to be on the hustle train. Mm-hmm. I used to work crazy hours in the hospitals. I used to want to do this and this and that. And everything was fast, but then there's always a price to pay. And in my case, it was my health. You know, I started to have health challenges. Life just became too fast for me. Mm-hmm. And I just noticed that you can get things done with calm focus. But a lot of times people are stepping into this hustle mindset or bandwagon and they're go, go, go. But it's almost like the focus is very fractionated. It's very distracted. You know, it's like they're doing this and this and this and this and that and trying to keep up with everything. Sometimes it's better like do a few things at a time, concentrate your energy, and then you bring a sense of calm and ease, and then you bring back that joy into life. I think life should be fun. I'm a big proponent of fun. Even if you're an entrepreneur or you're trying to grow a business, you should do it with as much fun and calmness as possible, because really your business like everything you do is your life. You're exchanging the time of your life to grow that business. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to exchange that for stress and hustle and disease in your body down the line? I don't think it's a worthy exchange.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one important conversation, because now if I want to keep doing multiple things, how do I focus on the finance part? You know, a lot of people struggle to execute multiple things because they want to manage their monthly expenses, right? Now, how do you plan this where if you have a full-time job yet want to do a lot of other things, or if you don't have a full-time job and you want to explore 10 different things, how do you really manage the finance part of it, and how, from your personal experience, has it shaped up well for you?
Sure. So I'll take the first. So for instance, if someone does have a full-time job and wants to do like other things on the side or manage other interests, I would say, honestly, like if your full-time job is working for you, like it's a job that you like or it's paying your bills, somebody doesn't have to take drastic action. Perhaps you can continue working with that job, because even jobs that we don't like, they bring some good in our lives, even if it's just the fact that they help us feed our families, they pay the bills, right? Mm-hmm. But perhaps apply more awareness and consciousness in your life in terms of like what other things is somebody doing in their life. For example, I know people who have full-time jobs and they want to like pick up ballroom dancer or salsa or learn a new language or something on this. But they say they have no time, but the same people spend like 4 hours on Facebook a day and 4 hours on Netflix. So I think it's just about reprioritization, right? It's about reprioritization. So perhaps from those 8 hours that somebody uses on social media and Netflix or any other entertainment channels, it's not really bringing a lot of purpose in their life. Just try to be more conscious of how you use your time. And maybe channel some of that time into nurturing your activities, maybe after work or in the weekends, or, you know, for example, or even there are ways you can weave in things into work, like fitness, for example. Some people, they have no time to go to the gym after work. Mm-hmm. But do you have an hour lunch break? Perhaps like try and take a walk break or get together with other fitness-minded friends and go for like a walk in your lunchtime, you know, like a walk-in lunch, or half the time for lunch, half the time for a walk. So you're embedding your interests and passions within your life, how it's set up. You don't have to do a major overhaul of your life. It's just being more conscious of how you use your time. So that's kind of one route. If you do have a steady job that's bringing in, you know, income, I would say like that's one way to pursue it. You know, just addressing the other part of the question you said, like if somebody doesn't have a job who's bringing in the money, maybe consider like, again, how can I bring together some of my major interests and try to put my work out there? I say like put your work out there as best as you can, and those that align with your message will be magnetized. I don't believe in attracting, you know, like, I mean, marketing is a good thing, but I like to use the word magnetizing. So magnetizing people who align with your message, as crazy as your ideas or passions might seem, perhaps if you package them in a way that made sense to you and made sense to others, and just put your work out there. It could be like by starting a blog, by starting a podcast, by even just like telling your friends about it, mm-hmm. or by starting a side hustle business or a business. In any way, regardless of how small, just put your work out there. Now we do have social media for those who are active in social media, or you can do a blog or a podcast or even like a Clubhouse channel. There's just so many platforms. Right. Put your work out there, put yourself out there, and you would be shocked what will materialize. It takes time and it takes some work, but I wouldn't just, you know, give up on your dreams because you think like, oh, I can never make sustenance out of this, or this doesn't make sense. You know, I think if you look closely at what you're interested in, there's a common thread, which is you. So you can even brand yourself as a personal brand and just put your work out there as best you can.
Right then, superb. Egypt, with that brings us to the end of our first round of questions. Time to move to my favorite round of questions. This is the rapid fire round.
Oh, great.
In three, ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. Three people you look up to or follow the most when it comes to multi-passionate living.
Oh my gosh. I'd say Leonardo da Vinci, mm-hmm. for sure. Rudolf Steiner, Nikola Tesla.
Okay. When someone says focus on one thing, Egypt, you'll go a longer way. Normally, your reply to them would be?
Oh, I focus on my passions. I put it all in an umbrella. That's my one thing, my life, and all the passions that come with it.
Okay. Apart from poetry, from all the things that you do, which is that one most interesting thing you feel you like doing the most?
My metaphysical explorations, for sure. Yes, metaphysics and philosophy.
Super. Three of your favorite books and why?
Oh my gosh, I love reading. I have so many books. I like Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
I like Untamed, Glennon Doyle. And there's a book on philosophy called Music of the Mind by Daryl Rainey.
Okay. Your one piece of advice to the generation ahead who have been taught at home in school to have a fixed goal in life?
I would say question the narrative of anything that you're taught. You know, especially when you feel it doesn't align to your own truth, you can redefine the life according to your own rules.
Okay, very interesting. And what are you looking forward to doing this year?
Just, I would say, collaborating more with entrepreneurs, innovators, just thought leaders, sharing more of my message and my vision, and just more creative collaborations. That's like one big thing I would like to engage more in this year. Yes.
Super. And are you going to explore a new interest or a hobby this year as well?
Well, who knows what will turn up, what the universe will bring my way. For now, I'm just nurturing and deepening the ones I already have going. But I'm always open to learning, so I don't know.
Okay. And finally, what are your 3 to 5 tips on how one can successfully and productively identify that they can live a multi-passionate life or are multi-potential in life?
One would be, as ironic, would be to focus. And not focus in one area, but to focus on your passions. Try to not get distracted by the noise of other people, the noise of social media, the noise of the online life. Focus on your passions would be one. 2, stop apologizing and stop explaining yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your passions are gifts. You don't need permission from anybody to nurture them, or just own the fact that you are multi-passionate. Once you own it, you bring a lot of power into that.
Mm-hmm.
3, I would just say, like, just be open. Be open to lifelong learning. If you're multi-passionate, you probably are an open person already, but be open. You never know where your passions will take you.
Right.
So be open to that creative exploration. The 4th one, I would just say that, like, live to your own truth, your own authenticity. It will bring you so many rewards in life. You will feel abundant. Your soul will always feel in the right place and it will guide you to the right place.
Okay. And great. With that, Egypt, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for making time for this conversation. And before we leave, where can our listeners know more about you and your work?
Thank you, Dakshin. It was great talking. And my work can be found at my website. All the information and links will be at www.manifestingalchemy.com.
Super. Okay. Fantastic. I had a great time hosting you. I hope you had your good time on the show as well.
I definitely did. Thank you very much, Dakshin.
Best wishes always. Cheers.
Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of today's conversation. And before we wrap up, here's an interesting fact for the day. There's a saying that people change their careers between 3 to 7 times throughout their lifetime, and that the number is only going up with millennials and Gen Z culture. And this is mainly because of their growing passion towards other interests and hobbies. Are you bitten by this bug as well? So that's it for today. This is Dakshin Adyantaya signing off. Don't forget to hit the follow button on your favorite audio platforms and get in touch with me on thedeliberatetalks@gmail.com. Join in next Monday for a new episode. Until then, inspire and be inspired.